Okay, today's daf is Kiddushin daf Mem Zayin. We left off on the very bottom of daf Mem Vav and Beis, the last two words on the page of daf Mem Vav and Beis. Much of what we're going to discuss today is going to be a continuation of what we were talking about yesterday. The Mishnah had spoken about a man giving a woman multiple items for Kiddushin, and we had the first two cases in the Mishnah. First case was a guy gives a woman and he says a separate lashon of Kiddushin for each tamara that he gives the woman. His kaddish libit tamarazu, his kaddish. So the Mishnah had said that one of them needs to be worth a Shavah Pruta independently in order for the Kiddushin to be Chal. The second case of the Mishnah was that he says his Kaddishli Bezu, that he doesn't say a separate Lashon of Kiddushin, he gives him multiple items and says you should be Mekadesh to me with this and with this and with this, so that we said they could all combine for a Shavah Pruta, and we had a Machlokes how to understand the third case of the Mishnah. The third case of the Mishnah was where he keeps giving her multiple items, but before he gives her the next one, she eats the previous one. So we said that in that case, then clearly one of them has to be worth the Shavah Pruta, or else the Kiddushin is not valid. So Rabbi Ami explained that last line in the Mishnah to be going on the second case of the Mishnah, not on the first case of the Mishnah. So a man is Mekadish Nisha by saying Bazoo, 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 giving her one thing after the other, and the halacha would be that altogether they could be worth the Shavah Pruta, but the Mishnah says, no, if she eats each one before she receives the next one, then she's Eina Mekudeshes, unless one of them independently is worth a Shavah Pruta. So going back to that conversation, and then we're going to discuss a lot about Mekadish B'milva. The bulk of the daf is really about Mekadish B'milva, which is a subject we had already in the first parak, but we're going to revisit in much greater detail over here. So going back to that conversation of Rabbi Ami's Shita,
apples, uh-huh. And she eats one at a time, and then before I give the next kick, she's getting a worth of pruta totally.
So the Maisa Kiddushin is not considered to be finished until, this is why it's going to lead us into Mekadesh B'milva. The Maisa Kiddushin is not considered to be finished until I'm finished giving, because all of it is part of the same Maisa Kiddushin, and therefore if it's not there anymore, so it's like being Mekadesh B'milva, because she just owes me.
She had the enough.
Yeah,
pruta,
yeah. Right. So says the Gemara, Amar Rava. Rava makes the comment, Lo shanu elad amar la, bazu, bazu, bazu. This idea that if she eats one of the first ones, that she's not Mekadeshes, unless there is a Shavah Pruta in one of them, is only if he said to her, bazu, 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 where he gives her one at a time, and he says in Scottish, bazu, she eats it, and then he says in Scottish, bazu, 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 etc., and she keeps eating them. Aval amar la be'elu afilu ochelas, but if he says to her in the Scottish be'elu, he says one lashon that sort of pulls them all together, then even if she eats the original ones before she accepts the later ones, nami mukadashas, she would still be mukadashas, because ki ka'achla midinaf shaka'achla. We say that when she was eating, whatever she ate, she was eating what belonged to her. That since he finished saying, after he finished saying what he had to say, he gave her the tamaros, betaros kiddushin, and not betaros pikadon, so she's allowed to eat them right away, and it's considered to be that it's one act of kiddushin, and she's getting hana from all of it simultaneously. Tanya kavase de Rava, the Gemara says we have a brisa that seems to support Rava, because the brisa discusses several cases. First case is kaddishli ba'alon b'rimon u'be'egos. A guy says to a woman, I want you to be mekadeshes to me with these different types of fruits. Osha amala his kadshili be'elu, or he says, I want you to be mekadeshes to me be'elu. Im yesh bekulon shavah pruta mekadeshes v'im lav ein mekadeshes. If altogether they're worth a shavah pruta, that's enough for her to be mekadeshes. It's only if altogether they're not worth a shavah pruta that she's not mekadeshes. But if he says to her bezu bezu bezu, im yesh bekulon shavah pruta mekadeshes v'im lav ein mekadeshes, you have the same halacha. And the Rishonim discuss why we have to split this into two different bavos in the brisa, meaning it should have just said that if he's niskadish or ba'alon b'rimon u'ba'egos, or he says the skajli be'elu, or bezu bezu bezu, because they're all saying the same halacha, that if together they're worth the shavar prutish and mekadeshes, if together they're not worth the shavar prutish not mekadeshes. However, if he says bezu natlaso v'yachlaso, he says be miskajli bezu, and he gives her a pri, and she eats it, she takes it and she eats it, then he gives her another pri, and he says bezu natlaso v'achalto, and again she takes it and she eats it, va'od bezu, and it keeps happening like that. Then he keeps saying with this one, and then she takes it and she eats it, and with this one, she takes it. Then she's only going to be mukadeshes if one of the parents is worth a shavar pruta independent of the other fruits. But if they're only worth a shavar pruta when you combine them all together, it's ena mukadeshes, because they're not, you can't be mitzarif them. So frankly, Gemara, let's analyze this brisa, and then we'll see why this is a raya to Rava. What's the case where you're being mekadesh her with these various fruits, with these multiple fruits? If the case is that he said to her, I want you to be mekadesh to me either with this or with that or with that, and he gives her the different fruits, but he makes it clear that it's one or the other that's going to work, would that make sense that if all together they're worth a shavar pruta that she'd be mekadesh? He says, or, if he's saying or, it's one or the other, it's not all of them together, that wouldn't make sense. Ve'ela ba'alon b'rimon u'be'egos. So it must be that he's saying, Torah, I want you to be mekadeshes to me with all of these fruits put together. So that's why they're mitstarif together for the shear of the shavar pruta. But the problem with that is, hainu b'zu v'zo v'zo. That's exactly the same as saying, I want you to be mekadeshes to me, b'zo v'zo v'zo. So why would the Brice have to say two separate cases that are essentially identical? Now the case must have been that he said iskachili be'elu, and that's why the Brice has to tell us separately bazo 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 and be'elu. So says Mar, but wait a second. Hamiduktani seifa osha amarla hiskadshili be'elu. In the seifa we had where it said hiskadshili be'elu, mechal deresha lav be'elu askinan. That makes it sound like in the resha we're not talking about where he said be'elu. So it must be perushi kamefarish. The brisa is explaining itself. That it's the case in the resha is he gives her an alon, a rima, an egos, and he said iskachili be'elu. The sefer is also talking about iskachili be'elu. It's not a new din. It's explaining the din of the resha. Iskachili balon b'rimon ve'egos, and then he said. Then the brisa explains ketzad kegon damelo iskachili be'elu. What's the case where he's giving these multiple fruits? It's a case where he says iskachili be'elu. The katani sefer bezuv v'natlas. And the seifa of the brisa goes on to say that if he says harei mekadeshes li bezu, and right away she takes it and she eats it, and then he says to her bezu, and she takes that and she eats it, if any one of them is worth a shavar pruta, it's mekadeshes, but if none of them independently are worth a shavar pruta, then it's not mekadeshes. But that's only on the case of bezu, bezu, bezu. V'ilu reisha lo kamaflug ben ochel. Yet when it comes to a case of be'elu, apparently we don't distinguish with whether she eats it or she doesn't or she puts it aside. Apparently when you say be'elu, even if she decides to eat one at a time, they can still all be mitzarev for her to be mekadeshes. So the Shema Mina kalhecha damar la be'elu ki ka'ach la minaf sha'ka'ach, that if you say that magic word be'elu, that's what brings them all together, and then she's considered to be eating her own item. So Shema Mina. So that seems to be a raya to the Shita of Rava. Okay, we're about 8 lines before the lines get wide. Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. Says the Gemara, all of this works very well if you assume that the third line of the Mishnah, where if she eats it before she gets the next fruit, the Mishnah had said that she's not mekadeshes unless the last one is worth the shavar, unless one of them is worth the shavar pruta. That's only if you assume it's going on the seifa, that it's going on the seifa, going on the case where you're giving her bazu bazu bazu. Umay ad sheibachs min shavar pruta. What does it mean when it says one of them has to be worth a shavar pruta? Ad sheibachrona shavar pruta. It means that the last one has to be worth a shavar pruta. So that's like we said yesterday. Hachinami acheibachrona shavapruta. So over here also in this brisa, it means that the last one has to be worth a shavapruta. El Rabu Shmuel damri tarvayu aresha kai. But according to both Rav and Shmuel, who said that the third case of the Mishnah was going on the Reisha, where you say independent Lashonos of Kiddushin, Mekadish li bezu, and then separately bezu, Vochelas itzrichle, and what's the Chiddush, that each one independently, that one of them independently has to be worth a Shavapruta? The Chiddush is that you might have thought that if she eats it, remember we said yesterday, you might have thought that since she's eating it right away, maybe it doesn't really have to be worth a shavapruta because she's getting such immediate hana'a that maybe we should consider it to be like a shavapruta even though it's not really worth a shavapruta. So the whole chiddush was ocheles, that ocheles is tzrichle, sahacha klalika chashiv, prati loka chashiv. So then, so if that's the case, the how are you going to explain the brisa? The brisa is dealing only in cases where he's mekadisher with multiple peros bichlalus, not in case where he's mekadisher independently with one pri after another. So what's the brisa saying? The brisa wasn't discussing a case where you say separate lishonos of kiddushin. The brisa never even brought that up. The brisa was only talking about where you give her one after the other. So says the Gemara, Hamani, who's the Tana who taught the Sefer of the Braisa? Rebbe he. It's assuming like Rebbe. The Omer Loshna Kazayis Kazayis, Loshna Kazayis U Kazayis Pratahavi. Rebbe holds when it comes to the din of pigul, whether a person adds a vav, and he says kazayis u kazayis, or whether he doesn't add a vav, he just says kazayis kazayis, he does not intend to include all of the things together. He intends to specify each one individually. So according to Rebbe's shita, there's no difference between saying iskadish bezu bezu and saying iskadish bezu u bezu. In both of those cases, he does not intend to be Mekadisher with all the peros together. He intends to be Mekadisher with only one pri, and therefore he holds that a woman is not going to be Mekadeshes unless one of them individually is worth a Shavapruta. But if it's not worth a Shavapruta, if it's only worth a Shavapruta in combination with all the others, she would not be Mekadeshes. So even though the Braisa says Haisa Ocheles, it's Lav Dafki, even if she would leave the peros around, it wouldn't be Mitzdarif to the Shir Shavapruta. Even though the way the Braisa formulates it is if she's Ocheles, then it's not going to all be misrived together. According to Rebbe, it's not misrived together anyway. Even if you give her one food, she puts it aside, you give her another one, she puts it aside, another one, it's still not going to be misrived, because Rebbe holds that whether you say bazoo, 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 or whether you say bazoo, ubazoo, ubazoo, either way, what you're really trying to do is be mekadesh with independent acts of kiddushin that are not misrived with each other. So it turns out that there's a machlokas between the Tana that taught the Reisha of the Braisa and the Tana that teaches the Seifa of the Braisa. Because in the Reisha said that if you say Viskadish Libe Elu, or you say bazoo bazoo, you want to be mitzdayif all of them together. So if all together they're worth a shavapruta and mekadeshes. The Seifa of the Braisa disagrees. It turns out that there's a steer in the Braisa. It's machlokas within the Braisa. The Seifa of the Braisa says that she's only mekadeshes if one of the peros is worth a shavapruta, and that in fact reflects the shita of Rebbe. Okay, new piece now. At the two dots on the first wide line.
Is the sheet of Rebbe only if you use a lashon of kedushin like tesis by espashtus?
There was.
Let's say you use tariyavi you add this. Meaning, let's say you didn't.
So why would it be different?
Tesis by espashtus says we only compare it to kedushin if you use a lashon because.
Yeah, because that's a hegdish, but that's only right because over there using the din of hegdish, right? Over here it's pigul, right? But pigul is not a din of being makdish something. Hispashtus is something that's unique to hegdish. He's referring to the Gemara that talks about if you say regal shalzu ola, the Gemara in the beginning of the first parak, that the regal of this animal should be a carbon ola, so kula ola, that the entire animal becomes a carbon ola because you can't have part of an animal becoming carbon. So we have several places throughout this mesechta. The mesechta is called kiddushin. Kiddushin is not, the Gemara says at the very beginning of the Masechta, is not a lashon that the Torah ever uses. The Torah uses kicha, ki yikach ishisha, when a man takes, doesn't use a lashon kiddushin. So the Gemara says, kiddushin relates to hekdish. You're making her like hekdish. She's ushered to the whole world like hekdish. And we have a few places in the Masechta where that equation seems to be more than just a name. It seems to be that there's some actual connection between kiddushin and hekdish. So that's one of those sugyas where we see a very clear connection, that the idea of his pashtus maybe applies to an isha the same way it would apply to Haggadah. But I don't think that connects to Rebbe's sheet over here. So I think it's the stuff about the psul. It's not about being makdish the item. It's about the pigle shabo. Okay, so we're at the two dots on the first wide line of daf mem zayin amar aleph. Amarav hamakadish b'milva. Someone is makadish a woman with a milva, with a loan, meaning he lent her money and he loaned her money and he said that instead of paying me back the money, you should be makadeshes to me with that money. Ain't a mukadeshes. So Rav holds it's not a valid kiddushin. Why? Milva lo tsa nitna. As soon as you give the woman the money, she has, as soon as you lend anyone money, they're allowed to spend it. It's theirs to do whatever they want with it. This is as opposed to a she'ela. If I lend you my car, I do not authorize you to sell it and trade it and do other things with it, to use it, and then you have to give it back to me, the same car. I don't want you to give me back a car that approximates the original car I gave you. But when I lend you money, the assumption is, if I give you $100 and I gave you a $100 bill, you don't have to give me back that same $100 bill. You can give me a different $100 bill. I intend that if I'm lending you the money that you're going to use it. That's the understanding. That's the whole reason you want to borrow. You want to borrow money to be able to use it. You'll pay me back other money. You'll pay me back the same value, but it doesn't have to be the same bills. It's yours to spend. So since it already belongs to the woman, the second you give it to her, you can't be mekadesh with it anymore. It's too late. It's already hers. So name a katanai. This seems to be a machlokas tanai in this comment of Rav, hamakadish b'milva ena mukadeshes, v'yeshomri mukadeshes, that is machlokas, whether makadish b'milva works or doesn't work for kiddushin. So my lav ba'akamivlgi, the Gemara is first going to suggest, we're going to change this later, but first we're going to suggest, maybe the machlokas is, to marisavra milva lo tzadnina, or marisavra milva lav lo tzadnina, that they're arguing whether milva lo tzadnina or not, is when I lend you money, is the point to be able to spend it, or is it not that you're able to be motzi? So that's a little bit strange. What's the svarit say milva lavlo tzadnitna? You asked me to borrow $100,000. So if I gave you, and I marked the bills, and I know exactly the bills that I gave you, if you return a year later, you return exactly those same bills, I'm going to be pretty upset. What did you need my $100,000 for? Did you need to swim in it? What was the, your child is getting married, so you want to impress the mechutanim, so you're just going to fill the house with bills. That's what you wanted to use it for? You were supposed to spend it. What's the svara? Milva lavlo tzadnitna? Milva lavlo tzadnitna can't mean that you don't have the right to spend it. Of course, when you borrow money, you have the right to spend it. There's a discussion in Rishonim, what it actually means. Tosfos Rid over here on the side of the page, Tosfos Rid suggests that what it means is, until you spend it, it still belongs to me. Meaning, until you actually spend it, I could say I want it back. It's still my money. It only becomes yours once you spend it. So I give you the $100,000, and until you decide to do so, you're allowed to do something with it whenever you want. But until you decide to do something with it, I could still veto it. I could still bring it back. I could still say it belongs to me. That's milva lavlo tzadnitna. That your ability to be motzi you have the ability to be motzi right away. But if it's still be'en, then it's still considered to be mine. That's at least how the Tosfos Rid explains. Rashi writes, milva lo tzadnitna, is that the lov is able to be motzi the money for sure. He doesn't have to. He's not chayv lahamidam beiska. He doesn't have to invest them. When Rashi explains milva lo tzadnitna, he says it doesn't mean he has to invest them in something that shares that value that he'll always have on hand. He doesn't have to use that money dafka for an iska, dafka for an investment. It could be that he uses the money to pay his grocery bills.
To borrow more money. Or the guy is a rich man.
But Rashi says even it could be, if you hold milva lo tzadnitna, it means he can even use the money to pay his grocery bills, to pay his electric bills. Something that's not going to give him more value. Something that's not going to be an investment where he's going to make more money out of. So according to the way Rashi explains milva lo tzadnitna, it sounds like milva lav lo tzadnitna, it means that yes, you're allowed to spend it, but only on investments. You're not allowed to spend it on something that's not uh, that's not an investment. That's how Rashi seems to understand milva lav lotzadnit, but it's lo yitachin. It's not possible that milva lav lotzadnit means that the guy's not allowed to spend it. Of course he's allowed to spend it. It's just the way Rashi understands it means he's limited in that he's only allowed to spend it on an investment, and the way Tosrit understands is he's allowed to spend it, but until he spends it, it's still mine. That's the sheet of milva lav lotzadnit. So the Gemara says, isn't this exactly the machlokas, whether Mekadosh Milva works or not? It doesn't it all depend on Milva Lotzad Nitna or Lav Lotzad Nitna? Says Marvit Hizbra, is that really correct? Ema Seifa Vishavim B'mecher Shezekana. If you want to be Kona, an item that you're buying with a Milva, that works. Everyone agrees that that works. Well, Iyamrit Milva Lotzad Nitna B'maykani. But if you're saying Milva Lotzad Nitna, that it's not mine anymore, the money I lent you is no longer mine, so how can I be Kona a Mecher with a Milva if Milva's the Lotzadnitna? So it can't be that that's what they're arguing about. So rather, Rav Nachman explains differently. Amar Rav Nachman, Huna Chavrin Mukimla Bimilia Ochari. Huna Chavrin explained that this is talking about he explained the Brisa in a different way. V'hacha b'mayaskinan kigon sha'amala eskad shili b'mana v'nimtza mana chaser dinar. Now the case is, the Brisa is talking about a case, a guy gives a woman money and he says, here, I want you to be mekadesh to me with these $100. And then she goes and she counts it and there's only $99 there. There's not $100 there. So the mekadesh says the dinar that I'm missing should be a milva, should be a loan, meaning I owe you that money. So that's the machlokas tanaim. Is she mukadeshes? Mar savr ksif la milsel mitveh. So one of the tanaim holds that she's embarrassed to ask for that last dollar. It makes her sound like she's grubbing for every last penny. So since it's such a small amount in the big scheme of things, she got 99% of the money. So she's not going to have smichas das in the kiddushin because she's never going to quite feel comfortable asking for that last dollar. But she only was accepted kiddushin of $100. She did not accept kiddushin initially of $99. So that's why it would not be a good kiddushin. Umar suffer lo ksif la milsel mitveh. And the other tana holds that she's not embarrassed to ask for it. So she does have a smichas das that he's going to pay her the dinar, and since she has a smichas das that he's going to pay her the dinar, so she's totally mekudeshes. It's not a problem at all. The Ella Hada Amar Reb Lazar. So the Gemara asks, wait a second, that which Reb Lazar says, that a guy who says to a woman, "Iskadishli b'mana v'nasan la dinar harezim mekudeshes v'yashlim," if he says, "I want you to be mekudeshes to me with $100 and he only gives her $1, so she is mekudeshes and he owes her the other $99, is that really a machlokas tanaim? Is that really not accepted? Meaning, what's the difference between a guy giving her a guy saying, "I want you to be mekudeshes to me with these $100 and giving her 99, where there you have a machlokas, versus saying, "I want you to be mekudeshes to me with $100 and giving her $1. Where there you don't have a machlokas. There apparently we say that yes, it's fine, she's mukadeshes and he just owes her the other $99. So are the cases different? The Gemara says, yeah, the cases are different. Amri mana chaser dinar ksif la milsel mitveh. If he told her he's being mukadesh with $100 and he gave her 99, she'll be embarrassed to go and ask for that last dollar because it seems so petty to ask for $1 when she already got $99. But if he only gave her $1 and he was supposed to give her $100, it doesn't seem petty at all for her to go and ask for that for the last dollar. That seems perfectly, she's going to feel perfectly within her rights to ask for that for that last dollar. Now, for the last $99, doesn't seem petty at all to ask for the last $99. What's that?
I mean, it goes the other way to a great degree. If he says he gives her $100, all right, he substantially performed, he gave her $99. Gives her $1.
Right, but the Gemara is assuming that she thinks he's good for it. She just might have to ask for it.
But she doesn't know. I mean,
right, so the Gemara is working on the assumption.
She gives him a ring, and she gives him a ring of glass.
Right, so the Gemara works with the assumption that she has a smichas das because she knows that she's good, that he's good for it. There is a suffix something the Achronim have. What if the father was one that was mekabel kiddushin for the girl? Would you have the same machlokas? Meaning, what was the whole svara that the girl's not mekudeshes when she got 99 out of the $100? Is that she'll be embarrassed to ask for the last dollar? Maybe that's because she's going to be the one that's married to this guy, so it's embarrassing to ask for every last dollar. But the father has no problem, you know, putting the screws to him and saying, listen, you know, you said a deal's a deal. You said it's going to be $100. So the Tiv Kiddushin is not sure. He raises such a safek. I thought it was an interesting safek. What would the halacha be in that case? The Makna writes that if there's... actually, before we get to that, there's a Beis Shmuel in the side of Shulchan Aruch, and Ebenezer writes in the name of Tshuvas Rashach that if a guy says to a woman, Tli Kiddusheich Me'al Gabi Karka, it's Safik Mekudeshes. That it's not like Shudu Bikadon that she has of his, that even though he didn't give her anything right now, she would be Mekudeshes. Because over there, there was at least a Nesina Miyadol Liyada when he gave her the Bikadon. But by Tli Kiddusheich Me'al Gabi Karka, if he just says, there, it's on the ground, take it, so that's a Safik Mekudeshes. Now the Abnei Miluim raises the question that if Tli Kiddusheich Me'al Gabi Karka doesn't work, what's the Gemara asking from, according to Rav, that Mekadesh Milvah is not Kona, the Gemara asked that if Mekadesh Milvah is not Kona, why is a Mecher with a Milvah Kona? Why is it that when there's a sale and the purchase is done with a Milvah, that is Kona? After all, it could be that a Milvah is considered like Kesef, and the reason for Rav that Mekadesh Milvah is not Mekadeshes is because when you're Mekadesh Milvah, you're not giving her anything right now. It's like Tzikutu Sheikh Me'al Gabi Karka, and that's not like a Pikadon where it helps because you gave her something initially. A milvah, what you gave her initially was not giving her from your money for the sake of kiddushin, because the milvah was hers, because milvah lo tzadnit. You weren't giving her something of yours. You were giving her something that was supposed to belong to her. Milvah lo tzadnit. But if by a mecher you don't have that chisaron of because there is no din nesina by a mecher. So that's the raya, the Avnei Miluim says, against the Tshuvas Rashach. He doesn't understand. If you can say Tliku de Sheikh Me'al Gabi Karka should be different, then l'chor, the kasha over here in the Gemara is not such a great kasha, because you can't really compare a case of mecher to a case of kiddushin. Okay, says Gemara Vaitu now, four lines from the bottom. Meisvei. Homer li isha skad shlibi b'kotan sheyesh li b'yotcha v'holcha u'matzasu shenikna v'sha'avad. A guy says to a woman, I want you to be mekadeshes to me with the pikadon that you're watching for me, and then she, meaning you get to keep it now, and that will be your kiddushin. And she goes back to check on the pikadon, and it turns out it was stolen or it was lost. It's gone. If at least a shavapruta of it remains, then she's mekadeshes. But if less than a shavapruta of it remains, she's not mekadeshes. Ubimilva, but if it's a loan that he had given her, even if there is not a shavapruta of it left over, she's still going to be mekadeshes. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Mishum Rameir Milda Harehi Kipikadon. That a milda has the same din like a pikadon, and that is that only if a shavapruta of it is left, it's mekadeshes. But if less than a shavapruta is left, it's not mekadeshes. So says Gemara. Ad kan lo pligi ella demar sover milva afalgav de lo nishtayir men a shavapruta umar sover nishtayir men a shavapruta invi lo nishtayir men a shavapruta lov. What's the whole machlokas tonight if he tries to be mekadesh with a milva? So the whole machlokas is, can she be mekadeshes even when there isn't a shavapruta of it left? But everyone seems to agree. Avol de kuli alma mekadesh milva mekadeshes. But everyone seems to agree in principle, if at least the shavapruta of the milva is still there, that she can be mekadeshes. Meaning in principle, mekadesh milva works apparently. So l'chora, this is a kasha on Rav. Rav had started this whole sugya on the first wide line of Amud Aleph by saying mekadesh milva ain't a mekadeshes, that it doesn't work to be mekadesh milva. Here we have machlokes tanayim. If a guy was mekadesh woman with a milva, do you still need a shavapruta to be left, or is it mekadeshes even if there isn't a shavapruta left? But apparently everyone agrees in principle that the idea of mekadesh b'milva works, that it works to be mekadesh b'milva. Before we get to how Rav addresses that, just a point or two about this idea of pikadon. You're mekadesh with a pikadon that you had given her, she goes back, if there's a shavapruta of it left, then she's mekadeshes. If not, she's not mekadeshes. The Makna says, what if you're not sure if at the time of the kiddushin there's a shavapruta left? Meaning, the Gemara is in a few places, Gemara is Mabakam, Machlev Shor, Bapar, Bishor, or something like that, where you don't know. You're doing a Kinyan Chalipin over here, and you don't know the other animal that you're acquiring is somewhere else. So you know, and then you go back and you find that it's dead. So the Mishnah is discussed. You don't know, did it die before, did it die after? What if you don't know when it was stolen? The guy says the guy had given her a pikadon. He gave her a cell phone to watch, so she had it in her in her room. The cell phone. Now he's out by the beach and he's saying, "I'm mekadesh you with the cell phone that's in your room." And she goes back to the room a few hours later and it's gone. She doesn't know if it was there at the time of the kiddushin or if it wasn't there at the time of the kiddushin. What would the halacha be in that case? Our Gemara seems to assume that she knows. What? Oh, well, whether she would be chayefred or not is irrelevant, meaning because it's still, it would need to be be'en. Yeah, but then that's b'milva, meaning in order for it to work as a pikadon, it would still need to be be'en, it would still need to be there. So the Makna writes that if we're not sure whether it was gone before or afterwards, ain't mukadeshes, because she has a cheskas pnuya. She was a chazaka that she was single. There is a chazaka that the pikadon was berushusa so long as it wasn't stolen. But nevertheless, since that chazaka has a reyusa, because now it is stolen, so there's a major reyusa on the chazaka that it wasn't stolen, so the cheskas penuya is what carries the day. It's interesting that he even raises the idea that there's such a thing called a chazaka that it wasn't stolen. Meaning chazaka on an object is usually when there's a change in the object. So you say that the chazaka is that it was the way it started, right? A mikvah, that's the sugya at the beginning of Nida Daf Beis. If you have a mikvah that is nimdad v'nimtzah chaser, you measure, you know that the mikvah used to have 40 sa. Now you measure it a month later and you find that it has 39 sa. What about all the taros in between? Everything that went into that mikvah in between? How do you deal with it? So that's the first Mishnah in Maseches Nida discusses the first daf in Maseches Nida discusses that issue. So over there you say, well, there's the chazaka that the mikvah had 40 sa, because that's a chazaka in the object itself, that there was a change, and then the mikvah changed. But over here, a chazaka, that Shumas Tadashin raises this possibility, that there's no such thing as a chazaka, that an item wasn't stolen. Because even if it was stolen, nothing changed about it. It just moved from one place to the other. But the Makna says, even with such a chazaka, that the item wasn't stolen, still, the cheskas penuya, ultimately, is what's going to carry the day. However, the Chemda Shlomo assumes that if it's a safek, when it was stolen, she's safek mukudashas, that it would actually be considered a suffic kiddushin. So that's the machlokas in the achronim over here. Okay, says the Gemara further now. So now we just asked the kasha on Rav. How can Rav say mekadesh milva zeinu mukadeshes? We have a machlokas tanoim. If you're mekadesh with a milva, do you still need a pruta to remain in order for the kiddushin to work? But apparently everyone agrees that mekadesh milva does work. That it apparently does make a kiddushin. So Amar Rav v'tizbra hametaresta m'shaveshti. What are you bringing to me, Uriah, from such a brisa? That brisa is totally messed up anyway. That brisa has mistakes in it. So the Rav explains why he thinks this brisa is mishubeshes. Hi, pikadon echidami. What's the case? We're talking about this pikadon that the woman was mekabel. If the case is that she was mekabel achrayus on the pikadon, that if it gets stolen or it gets lost, that she's going to pay for it, hainu milva, then it's mamish a case of halva'a. Because the gabe halva'a, the Tanakama holds that the woman's mekudeshes with a mechilas achav, she could be mekudeshes. Even though there's no shavapruta left. So over here, why would a pikadon need to have a shavapruta left? At the very least, like you were saying before, if she has a chrayus for it, then she's then it becomes a milva. And if a milva works anyway, so then it's good. But if the case is she was never mekabla chrayus for the pikadon, if that were the case, adetani seifa, instead of the seifa trying to contrast a case of pikadon with a case of milva, why would you contrast with such different cases? Whenever you try to draw a contrast, like we pointed out the other day, you contrast an apple and an orange. You don't contrast an apple and a table. You contrast things that are as similar to each other as possible, and then you're able to show the difference between them. Instead of it saying that, as opposed to a pikadon, a milva, even without a shavarpruta left, is mukadeshas, just bring from the case of pikadon itself. Say, when do you need a shavarpruta to be remaining of it? That's if she was not mekabel achrayus. Aval kibla leachrayus, but if she was mekabel achrayus, aval gavdalon shayim and a shavarpruta mukadeshas. That could be the chiddush, that even if there's no shavarpruta, it's mukadeshas, because then it works midin milva. Ella tritzachi. So obviously, the way you have to explain the brice is as follows. According to the on the Kama, the woman is not Mekudeshes with a milvah at all. Even if it's a Shavu Pruta, we're changing the whole thing. Tanakama was not saying that when you're Mekadesh Milvah, she's always Mekadeshes. What he was saying is, as opposed to Pikadon, when you're Mekadesh Milvah, she's never Mekadeshes. It never works to be Mekadesh Milvah. Pikadon, yeah, if there's a Shavu Pruta left, it will be Mekadeshes. Milvah, never. Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Rameir, Milvah Reiki Pikadon. And then Rabbi Shimon Elazar says in the name of Rameir, no, Milvah's like a Pikadon, that if there's still a Shavu Pruta of it left, then it would still be Mekadeshes. So b'may kamiflagi, what are they arguing about? What is, now that we know what the machlokas is for real, now we can get to what is the basis of this machlokas. So the Gemara has two suggestions. Amar Rabba says Ashkinu Rabban Bebe Rab the Yasvi Kamri. I heard the Rabban in the Yeshiva, they were saying b'milva brishos b'ilam nachzar v'adin la'onsin kamiflagi. They were arguing about whether a halva'a that is still bishle Musa in the rishos of the Lova, is it still in the Rishus of the Malva, in that the Malva can be chozer on it and say, you know what, give me back the money right now? Or do we, and also if an onus happens to that money, that the Lova wouldn't have to pay because it's still in the Malva's Rishus? Or do we say, no, it's once the Malva has given it to the Lova, it is the Lova's, and therefore the Malva can't ask for it back right now. It's only when the money comes due that he can ask for it back. And also the Lova is the owner, so he's going to be the one that's chayv in any onus that may happen to that money. The Tanakama holds Milva Bershus Lova Kaima, that it's the Lova that is really the owner of this money for the time being, Vuadin Loonsim. So the Malva can't ask for it back, and the Lova is going to be responsible for any onus that happens with it. That's why you can't be Mekadesh Nisha with that money, because it's no longer the guy's money, it's the girl's money. You can't be Mekadesh her with her own money. So that's why it doesn't work. Umar Savra Milva Bershus Bailam Kaima, Vuadin Loansim. And the Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar holds that a milva is berushos of the malva in regard to the fact that the malva could ask for it back, and also if there's any onus that happens to it, that's not going to be the lova's chiyuv, it's going to be the malva. So you see that he holds that the malva is allowed to be mekadesh nisha with that money, because it's still his at the time of kiddushin. It's still his. So that's how the talmidim, the beis medrash, were explaining this machlokas. So says the Gemara, Amin Elhu, Rabbi says, but I told these Talmidim, La'onsim, Kuliyam La'plig de Rishos Lovakayim. He says, no. If an onus happens to this money, while the borrower still has possession of the money, everyone would agree that the borrower is responsible for the onus. My time, Logarim Yisheila, because it should be no different than a Sheila, than an item that you borrow. Ma Sheila, the Hadra Be'ina Chayv Onsim, even an item that you borrow. I borrow a car, so I have to give the car back, Be'en, and I'm chayiv and owns him for it. Milva lekolishkein. So milva, the more so I would have, if even though I have to alach kama v'kama when I borrow money, where it's going to be my responsibility for any onus that happens. And the second I take that money into my possession, it's my responsibility for any onus that happens. Why is it by a she'ela that you chayiv ba'onsim? So the shaul is chayiv ba'onsim because kol hana'a shalo, all the hana'a is his. This is an interesting discussion in the Achronim. Does the same thing necessarily apply to a halva? There's a mitzvah in the Torah to be malva money. So if there's a mitzvah in the Torah to be malva money, he's getting the hana'ah of the mitzvah. So you say, wait, mitzvah's lovely. Hana's didn't do. That's not called hana'ah. That the other guy, the lender's also getting hana'ah because he's doing a mitzvah of lending money. That's not called hana'ah. Yeah, it may not be called hana'ah, but if at the moment that he's borrowing, that he's lending the money, an ani comes and asks for a tzedakah, he's pater. Right? That's what we call pruta de Rav Yosef, like a shomer aveda. That a shomer aveda is considered a shomer sachar, according to Rav Yosef, because while he's watching the aveda, if an ani asks for money, he's pater from having to give him the money, because he's also a mitzvah. So it's as if he's saving money on the being Shomer Aved, as if he's getting paid. So maybe you can say the same thing over here. At the moment that I'm lending someone money, if an ani were to come and ask for tzedakah, I'd be part from giving a tzedakah, prut Rav Yosef, so I'm getting hana from lending the money. So maybe by She'ela, the Gemara's Kavl Chomer is not such a great Kavl Chomer. That if by She'ela he's Chayv Bonsim, so Kavl Chomer by a milva he's Chayv Bonsim. Maybe not. Maybe by Sheli is chayv ba'onsin because by Sheila kalanah shalom, the borrower is the one that gets all the hana. But by milva, the borrower is not the one that gets all the hana because it's a mitzvah to be involved with money. This makes the assumption that there's a mitzvah to lend money, but that mitzvah does not include lending things. Now, lending money is a mitzvah in the Torah, but lending things is just being a nice guy, but it's not necessarily a mitzvah in the Torah. So that's a discussion some of the Achronim have over here. Anyway, so Rabbi says, so what is the machlokas really about? They're only arguing about whether the guy can ask, or the lender can ask for the money back before it's actually been spent. That's the whole machlokas. Tanakama holds from the time of the halva'a, it's birshus halova, the malva cannot ask for it back, and therefore he cannot be Mekadesh Nisha with it. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says he can ask for it back, and therefore he can be Mekadesh Nisha with it. So Gemara says, well, wait a second. Allah Hadam Rav Huna Hashol Karda Mechavero, if someone borrows an axe from his friend, Bikabo, if he actually uses it, he actually did something with it, Kana'o, it's only then that he's Kona it, that the Mashil cannot ask for it back. Lo Bikabo, but if he has not yet used it, Lo Kana'o. So Lema Katanayam L'Shmaite, should we say that this is subject to Machlokas Tanayim, that this statement of Rav Huna about the axe is really subject to a machlokas tanaim, and he's only going like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar holds that the money of the halva'a is in the rishus and the malva until the lova actually uses it? So it says in Allah, the whole machlokas of whose possession the money is considered to be in, that's only by money that you lend, where you're not supposed to give back the actual money itself, you just give back other bills. But if I borrow an axe, I'm supposed to give back the item itself. Everyone would agree that only once you use it does it become the borrower's, and can the lender not ask for it back immediately, but if you haven't yet used it, it's still considered in the rishus of the lender. So now the Gemara wants to say that this din of Rav about being mekadesh b'milva is really subject to machlokas tanaim. Name a ketanai. Guy says to a woman, "Iskachili b'shtar chov, o sheilo milva bi'aracherim b'hirsha aleim. I want you to be mekudeshes to me with a shtar chov." Or he had other people that owed him money, and he gave her the right to collect that money. Rameir says that the Kiddushin is a valid Kiddushin. The Chamas say the Kiddushin is not going to be a valid Kiddushin. We're going to have five explanations of this Machlokes Rameir and the Chacham about being Mekadesh B'milva in a shtar. But we're not going to get through all five of them today. We'll get through a couple of them. What's the case? And what kind of shtar chov is he giving to her that he's trying to be Mekadesh with? If someone had lent money to someone else, and the guy who had lent money to had written him a shtar chov, and now he's giving her that shtar and saying, "Look, it's yours. You can collect the money. Then Reuven owes me." Hainu milva biyadacherim. Isn't that the same case as the second case that the Brice had mentioned of milva biyadacherim, where he was here shalem, where he allowed her to collect with it? No, elalav shtarchov di da. It must be, what's the case that he's mekadesh with the shtarchov? It's that she owed him money, and he had a shtar that said that she owed him money, and he's giving her back that shtar, saying, "Forget about it. You don't owe me the money anymore." O mekadesh milva kamiflugi, and therefore it turns out that according to our mayor, milva lav lo sadnitna. So long as the money has not been spent, it's still in the shus of the malva, so he's able to be mekadesh with the milva. And according to the chachamim, milva is lotzad nitna, and therefore ain't a mekadeshes. So it turns out that the din of Rav, of whether mekadesh milva is mekadeshes or not, is really machlokas tanaim. So it says Gemara, no, there's a second way to explain that machlokas. Lo, of the achirim. Really, the case is he's not being mekadesh with her own loan. He's being mekadesh with a loan that someone else owes him money. Over here, the reason we have two cases, one where he's mekadisher with a loan, with a shtar chov, and the other where he's mekadisher by being marsha her to collect, giving her our shah that she's allowed to collect. One is talking about where he's mekadisher with loans that other people owe him money with a shtar, and the other is where he's being mekadisher with loans that other people owe him money without a shtar. And both of those are subject to machlokas. So mil shtar b'may pligi. So the Gemara is going to go through one by what the machlokas is about in each of those cases. When a guy is owed money with a shtar, and he takes that and he's mekadesh nisha with it, what is the machlokas about, whether that works or not? And when a guy is owed money without a shtar, and he says to the woman, okay, you can collect that money, what's that machlokas about? So we're only, again, there are going to be five explanations of the with a shtar machlokas, but we're only going to get through a few of them today, and then tomorrow we'll get to the rest of them, and the without a shtar machlokas. So mil b'shtar b'mayk pligi. What are they arguing about in the case of mil b'shtar? B'plukta de Rebbe v'Rabbanu kamithli. They're arguing the machlokas between Rebbe and the Rabbanan about selling a shtar chov to someone else. D'tanya, we learned in a brisa. Osios niklos b'mesira divrei Rebbe. Rebbe holds, if a person wants to sell a shtar chov to someone else, he doesn't have to write another shtar on the shtar. I mean, if I'm giving you a shtar chov that says someone owes me $1,000, I don't have to write a shtar that says that I'm hereby giving that shtar. I can just give you the shtar. It's osios niklos b'mesira, that's good enough. V'cham momrim bein shakasa v'lomasar. That no, you have to write a separate shtar also. So the Gemara is explaining that the Rameir and the Chum are arguing the same machlokas. A guy is mekadesh nisha with a shtar chov that someone else owes him money, and all he did is he gave the woman the shtar. So Mar Islay, the Rebbe Rameir holds that it's mekudeshes, holds like Rebbe that you gave her something mesira. That's all you need to do. Just give the shtar. Umar Leslay, the Rebbe, but the Chachamim, who hold that she's not Mukadesh's, hold not good enough. You can't just give a shtar chov. You have to give a shtar chov with and write another shtar as well. That's one explanation of what they're arguing about. Viba Yisema, second possibility of what they're arguing about. To Kuli Alma, less the Rebbe. Everyone does not hold of Rebbe. Everyone thinks that you cannot just be Nikna b'Mesira. V'hacha b'drav Papa k'mithligi. And over here, what they're arguing about is the Damra Papa Haiman Dezavin Shtar L'Chavrei. If a guy sells a shtar to his friend, Sarach L'Michtavle. When he writes another shtar together with that shtar, he has to write to the kona, k'ni lach hu, you will be kona this shtar v'kol shibude, and any shibud that comes along with the shtar. And if he doesn't write that, then it's not going to be valid. So mar islay drav papa, the chacham who hold that the woman is not mukadeshes, hold like drav papa that and therefore the woman is not mukadeshes. Umar lasley drav, unless he wrote that. Umar lasley drav papa, and the Reb Meir doesn't hold like drav papa, and therefore he holds the woman is mukadeshes, even though he never wrote that you are hereby being kona v'kol shibude. We'll do one more explanation. Viva Yasema, another possibility of what they're arguing about is Dukuliam Lisudra Papa. Everyone holds that you actually have to write, I'm being maknu this shtar v'kol shibude, and you have to write a separate shtar, not like Rebbe and yes, like Rav Papa. But over here they're arguing in the din of Shmuel. Damar Shmuel, because Shmuel said, Hamocher shtar chov l'chaveru v'chazor machlo machl, that if a person sells a shtar chov to someone else, and then he's mochel the shtar chov, so he pulls such a shtick that Reuven owes Shimon money, and Shimon takes the shtar that says Reuven owes him money, and he sells that shtar to Levi, and then he goes and he's mochel Reuven the money. So Shmuel says that's mochel; it works. The mechil is valid. It's not a nice thing to do, but the mechil is valid. Vafilu yoreish mochel. Not only that, Shimon's yoreish could even be mochel the money to Reuven. So demaris le Shmuel, mar les le Shmuel. So that's the machlokas. The chachamim hold like Shmuel, and therefore, since he could always be mochel, the woman is not going to be miskadesh with the shtar chov because she's not going to have any smichas das. She's going to think, oh no, he might be mochel, and then I'm not going to get the money. Whereas Reb Meir doesn't hold like Shmuel, and he holds that he doesn't have the right to be mochel, and therefore the woman has smichas das that she's in fact going to be able to get this money. So those are most of the explanations of what they're arguing about.
Right.
Without it, right. Must be. Yeah.